Blog Talk Radio.
The extra point is up, and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show, and a knockout. Yes, a knockout. Yes, a hook uppercut of a show we have today. Whew, we're talking NFL free agency combine. We've got a champion on the show today, and WBA welterweight champion Lamont Peterson, and of course, talking a little March Madness with super referee Craig Muckle, our Extra Points Hoops contributor. A lot going on this week, a ton. So we got to get right into it. The rumor is the Extra Points radio show should go to 2 hours now. Just think, back in the day, we used to do a 30-minute show. I don't know how we did it. We don't have enough time. There's so much going on in the world of sports. Plenty of topics. And as always, we start with our pay attention topic, our PAT. Let's hit the music. Let's get right to it. So many pay attention topics. My goodness. You know where I'm going to start. I'm going to start where we left off last week, which was, let's go Hoyas. That's right. What in the world is still going on over there on the hilltop? I don't get it. So here's what we did. We go to the first round of the Big East tournament, and we get beat by a freshman team, St. John. St. John starts four freshmen. And severely undersized, not quite developed yet. I mean, these guys should be redshirting. They go in, yeah, it's a home game for them. I get it. It's a home game. But how does a freshman-laden St. John team beat Georgetown? Georgetown's got this kid, Leak, who basically put him on his back. And still not. They got one or two guys who are projected to go into the NBA draft, and they lose the game. Now, on top of the loss, there's a little scrum like old school Big East, which I love that. But it looked like, in a way, Mullen, if you read Mullen's lips, Mullen was the aggressor there. I'm just not used to that in Georgetown basketball, that we put our Princeton heads down and bow and go the other way. They got to make a change here. I do not know for the life of me what we're waiting for. The fans are calling. AI put out something this week saying, hey, you know, he was in the stands and he still thinks JT3 is the guy and this and that and the other. Well, AI, I love you. You're one of my favorite players. But guess what? You're wrong on this one. They got to make a change here. But enough of that. Where that's not our pay attention topic. Our second pay attention topic is really a little known back page story, but you know, it's little known because we don't hear anything. Arena football. Now, how many of you know that there are probably over 100 arena football teams out there? One of the new ones is the Washington Valor, and they actually start their first game in their inaugural season coming up here in April, April 7th. But here's the thing. They play the Baltimore Brigade. Who knew that, though? Like, if you're a new team in a new town, and new coach, new uniform, everything's new, shouldn't this be all over the place? Shouldn't they be calling the Extra Points radio show for sponsorship? I mean, I don't get it. So, anyway, I don't know, but we're going to try and reach out to the Valor, see if we can get them on and get them some positive press, because nobody knows what's going on in the arena. But you know what? That's not our pay attention topic. Cluen, general manager, Washington Redskins, no more. NFL, not for long. What in the world happened? This guy was doing draft meetings 2 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden, he's taking leave, he had death in the family, he doesn't show up for the combine, blah, 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 yada, yada. Now, look at this, he's fired. So I don't know what they're going to do. The rumor is Mike Mayock from the NFL Network is going to take his place. I'm not really good with that. While he may know college players inside and out, I think it's tough to go from the booth to the boardroom. You've got to be part lawyer, part accountant, and I just don't see that in Mike Mayock. There's a guy there already, Alex Santos. He's the director of pro personnel. Alex has been there now since 2004 when some other guy didn't take the job as a scout. And so now, you know, Alex is ready to go. And so it'd be a great story. He'd be the first Hispanic general manager in the league. It'd be a great story. I hope Alex gets a look. We'll see what happens. I don't know. So, yeah, so it's a lot going on in the pay attention topic, a ton. Georgetown needs to make a change, absolutely. The Washington Valor, an arena team that nobody knows about, and what in the world are the Reds doing as far as general manager. But those are not it. What it is the NFL Combine and free agency. So what I wanted to do really was take a look at some of the big names and numbers that we had this week in a flurry of issues. So the one I want to start with is DeSean Jackson. You know, he rolled out on the Skins, shocker, and actually got a raise. So the Skins would have paid him about $11 million, and he got a three-year, $35 million deal with Tampa. The good part about the deal, while his annual is only going to be $10.5 million, so it'll take $500,000 off, he's locked in for 3 years. So he's a little, getting a little older, so for him, that's what a veteran wants. And I think it gives Jameis another target. Vincent Jackson, who's already there, don't know what Vincent's status is. I know he's failed a couple of drug tests, so don't know where he's going to end up. So it's a great, great deal for DeSean. How about New England? Genius again. So on defense, they go out and get arguably a top-five corner in Stephon Gilmore. They sign him to a five-year, $65 million deal, which is, that's, you know, Norman money, so that's huge. But then on offense, they go and they take the 32nd pick in the first round, which quite frankly, they don't really need the pick, and they went and found a team that needs a bunch of picks, like the Saints. So they say, okay, Saints, give us your best receiver. So they got another little receiver, Brandon Cooks, who's better than Edelman, better than Amendola. So they just gave Brady another weapon to throw to. This team does it right. They're genius. Cleveland, kudos to Cleveland. And they put over $100 million in their offensive line. So when you add Joe Thomas in there, who is arguably the best left tackle in the AFC, you've put in almost $150 million in offensive line. Funny, though, they did that the day that they cut our D3. So I don't know if I get that one. But hey, I mean, I see what Cleveland's doing. I mean, you know, hey, good for them, good for them. I saw that Brandon Marshall, so Giants fan, I think it's a good pick. I really do. I think it's a good pick. They signed him to a two-year, $12 million deal, about $6 million. I thought that was a little low for Brandon Marshall. But I guess when you got the other guy, Yellowhead, on the other side. Now, here's the thing. You've got bipolar and passive-aggressive manic depressant. This thing's going to blow up. Was the head coach, I'd be all for it. I get it. But I don't know about this guy. I just think that this is going to be a problem, say, around week 5 or 6. So those of you that listen every week, Kingsley in New York, you're listening. I know you are. Write that down, my man. You're going to have a problem in week 6 with Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall. And it's going to explode. I'm going to predict it'll explode in a locker room. I'm telling you right now what's going to happen. So we'll see. But anyway, the Giants got him for a steal, so good for them. Speaking of receivers, Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith to the Eagles. That's if you're the Redskins, you're shaking in your boots right now because you got to already deal with Dez Bryant. You got to already deal with Odell Beckham Jr. Now you got to deal with Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. This is not looking good for Washington's team. I'm telling you, it is not looking good. So the Eagles put out about $30 million in money to their wide receiver corps. So they've really upgraded. So much for DeSean Jackson going back to the Eagles. That didn't happen. How about Lil Shanny over the 49ers? Lil Shanny got his fullback. And for those of you that remember, when the Shanahan, it's a staple in their offense to have a big fullback. Well, guess what? They got probably the best one in Kyle Jasinski from the Ravens. So that guy's got more Z's in his name than anybody I know. But they got him, and they got him for a decent little price and everything. They also went out and got Brian Hoyer at quarterback. So that freed the way for Kirk Daniel Cousins to sign his tender as franchise tag. So he'll be with the Skins for 1 year. That's affirmative. That's a done deal. So Hoyer signed a 2-year deal. So, you know, maybe what happens is they cut Hoyer after the first year and then bring Kirk next year. So Kirk's still going to 49ers. We'll just wait a year, no big deal. Green Bay made some interesting moves. So what Green Bay did was they signed Nick Perry, who's their middle linebacker and arguably their captain on defense. They signed a 5-year, $60 million deal. That's a little much for a middle linebacker, but he let him in sacks. He let him in tackles. Here's the dilemma, though. The dilemma is that by signing Nick Perry, it raised some eyebrows for your starter, Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers goes, wait a minute. He's still the highest paid on the team, but it's close. So then he goes, well, wait, Mike Glennon, who didn't even play last year, was a backup at Tampa, signed a 3-year, $45 million deal. If Kirk Cousins made $44 million in 2 years with the Redskins and didn't win any playoff games, can someone say restructure contract? I mean, Aaron can't sit out. Well, he could, but he'd be fined and everything. But it just brings up some red flags. So I think that Nick Perry signing was too much money. And Green Bay's got to look at that. The thing about free agency is you've got to look at – it's like chess. Like, you've got to look at the next move, 3 moves prior or ahead. And I don't think Green Bay did this when they signed him. So, anyway, move over to the Jaguars. They signed Calais Campbell, 4 years, $60 million contract for a 30-year-old D-lineman. Now, most people would say, I don't get it. I mean, that's old for D-line. So most people go, I wouldn't really touch that. But on the other hand, you got to look at Tom Coughlin's the general manager now, or team president, or whatever they title him. Tom Coughlin wants toughness. He wants a veteran guy that's going to come in and push these rookie and young players around. Well, he got it. I just don't know if I'd pay $60 million for it. So we'll see. And then finally, Matt Khalil. So Matt, in 2015, played left tackle for the Vikings, maybe the best left tackle that year. He signed a 5-year, $55 million deal. That's $11 million a year to protect Cam's backside. Now, Cam needs that protection. I get it. Got to be somebody cheaper than $11 million a year. That's the going rate for a left tackle. Don't get me wrong. But Khalil's got a lot of miles on him. He's been playing since his rookie year. He's over 30. I don't know here. So it's a delicate balance. It's delicate. So, we'll wrap up this way. What in the world are the Redskins doing? Let's just quickly breeze through a couple things. They still haven't addressed the defense. The guys they got in free agency are no-name guys. Never heard of them. Meanwhile, they lost Swaggy Baker. They lost him. And so they needed Baker. He was their best defensive lineman. So they lose their best defensive line. They lose both starting receivers. They have a running back named Fat Rob who wasn't drafted. And they don't even have a general manager. They don't even have anybody to pick players. So I'm not really sure what's going on with them, but they gotta definitely get their act together. So, hey, we'll see what happens with the Redskins. Hopefully, they'll get a general manager here soon. I'm pulling for Alex Santos. I think he'd do a great job. I think pulling a guy off TV is another one of these Redskin kind of let's just throw it up on the wall and see if it sticks. It's crazy. So Hey, usual suspects you don't hear much from. The Pittsburgh Steelers, didn't hear much from them. Obviously, they don't like free agency because they don't like to pay money. So I see we got some 412s out there listening. I'm talking to you. You guys never want to pay people. But you win Super Bowl. You got six of them. So what can I say? I don't. So anyway, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back to the Extra Points Radio Show. Chuck, take us out. Chucky B, Chucky B. So here we go. Let's dive back into this Redskin thing because we got so many 703s and 202s and 301s on here. Let's look at, okay, offensive line. Offensive line, you've got pretty solid. I think your depth may be a little bit of an issue, but you're pretty solid on the offensive line. Running back, they don't really have a running back. Now, you can't go back and get Alfred Morris because Alfred Morris, he's a free agent, but he doesn't fit this offense. Now, one thing that most people aren't aware of is Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson's their third down back, little guy, right? Chris Thompson is a restricted free agent. So he could land somewhere else. So the Redskins may lose him too. So, I mean, it's just they got no running back. Quarterback they got. They got a quarterback, but, you know, is he happy? Not really. And here's the thing. You've taken all the cookies out of the cookie jar for him. So he's going to throw two right now. He's got Dotson, who hasn't played a game in the league, coming off of an injury, an Achilles injury. So Dotson, you know, that could go awry in a practice, in a workout. That could go awry. But you got Dotson. You've got Ryan Grant, who's probably in his third or fourth year, hasn't really been very productive. And you've got Jamison Crowder, who, you know, will have to move from that slot receiver all the way out to the outside. Now, I don't know if he can get off of press coverage. I don't know. So they got some issues. Then they signed Vernon Davis, who's, I think, 37. They signed him to a three-year, $15 million deal. $5 million a year for a backup tight end? Because remember, they do have Jordan Reed. So I don't understand any of these moves here. I just don't get what the Skins are doing. So, hey, they're going to struggle on offense, and it's going to be a problem, I think, for Kirk. Defensively, I already told you, they lost Baker. Losing Chris Baker is huge. They have no nose tackles. They went out, got a guy from the Raiders in free agency. I've never heard of this guy. I know a few years ago they tried to get – oh, let me back up for a second. They also signed Terrell Pryor. Forgot that. Let me go back to offense for a minute. They signed Terrell Pryor to a one-year, $8 million deal. $8 million for Terrell Pryor? Come on, man, please. And Brandon Marshall only got six. Please. I would have rather they got Brandon Marshall. So that's going to be a problem. Swinging back over to the defense, they got Trent Murphy, who plays kind of that outside rush in, that edge rusher guy. He's going to have to sit out the first four games. He failed a steroid test. So he's going to be out. You got Preston Smith, you know, who kind of tapered off toward the end of last year. And you hope you have Junior Gallette. Now, here's another little thing at the linebacker position. Will Compton, who's really the captain on that defense, is also a restricted free agent. So Will Compton, they could lose him. If they lose Chris Thompson on offense and Will Compton on defense, man, it's hard to replace. So, you know, they got some struggles on defense. Then they got Norman. I don't know what they're going to do on the other side at corner. That's going to be a challenge, I think. But, you know, we'll see what happens. So, and then, of course, at safety, they signed a guy from the Cardinals again, kind of an unknown, under-the-radar guy. So I don't know what's happening here. But I'm concerned because the Cowboys are improving. The Cowboys are going to trade Romo, and they're going to get players with that pick, with that trade. The Eagles have just really bolstered their receiving core on an offense that I thought was already pretty good. They just need a running back. And then the G-men went out and got Brandon Marshall to go with ODP. I mean, this is going to be a tough little transaction here. So you know what I want to do? I want to hear from New York. I want to hear from my man Kingsley. He's in New York right now, and I know he's got something to say about the G-men. Kingsley, what's going on, man? You're on the air. I think you've been holding a little while. What's going on with your Giants, man?
We're making big moves. We got Brandon Marshall's. Same.
You like that move?
Yeah. Now you can't double team Odell.
well, here's the thing though. Don't you think that there may be a little problem? I mean, these guys are I'll just say highly competitive. I mean, you think that
Listen,
that's gonna work out?
Nope, because winning heals all wounds. So they start winning and go to the playoff, it's going to be all P's and Q's.
Well, wait a minute. You were winning last year and the guy banged his head up against the kicking net. What kind of winning you need?
We need a trophy. We need number five.
Oh, I got you. Oh, you're talking about Super Bowl winning. I got you. What about running back, Kingsley? You guys have not gotten that running back situation squared away yet. Free agency's upon us. You guys aren't playing. I haven't heard you pick up anybody except Brandon Marshall. Are you going to be able to run the ball?
We still got time. It's only March. We got to, like, what, July, August. We got, like, 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
We got a big fish. First, you get your big fish.
What about your Knicks? Last week, I don't know if you heard on the show, Super Ref Craig Muckle talked about the Knicks at length and really how bad they are. Do you think Phil Jackson should stay or go or what?
Man, everybody should go, man. I'm frustrated.
Right. You think just get rid of even the coach? He just got there. Jeff Hornacek, he just got there.
I mean, he could stay, but I'm talking about Phil. He getting paid too much, man. He getting paid like $60 million.
Yeah.
Like, for doing what? I could do a better job than that.
Well, he's got like 11 trophies, though, right? He's got 5 or 6 with Chicago and 5 or 6 with the Lakers, so the guy knows his stuff.
Nah, man, he's been here 3-4 years. We haven't gotten to the playoffs since he's been here.
And we're on the 500. I got
before
you.
Before he came.
Well, hey, Kingsley, it's good to talk to you, man. It's always good to talk to you. We got to shift gears here a little bit because we've got our guest just phoned in here, Lamont Peterson. So I want to get him in here. I know his time is tight. Lamont Peterson, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Resting up and still trying to stay in some shape.
I know it. Hey, thanks for joining the Extra Points Radio Show. And I know your time is tight, but we just wanted to check in with you and see, first of all, congratulations, WBA welterweight champion. Congratulations on that. You are the first champion ever to be on the Extra Points Radio Show. So put that – that's another belt you can carry around. Lamont, tell us, you know, our listening audience is a lot of young high school athletes out there. trying to make their way. What's the day in the life of a champion? What's a day in the life of it?
Well, not this. You know, of course, you know, everybody associated with hard work, but just still trying to be a good father and things like that outside of it. Just putting everything into it, you know, every day. It's not just the work you do in the gym. It's the work you do 24 hours a day. A lot of times I'm at the gym working 2-3 hours a day, but it doesn't end there. It's get home. It's still trying to prepare and recover for the next day. It's a long process, and I have to say when I say long process, not just the daily routine, it's just year after year, just putting in hard work and staying dedicated to my sport.
Well, I'm glad you said it's a long process, because a lot of, you know, what I think some people call millennials, I should say people that are younger, they want that instant gratification. They don't hear anything about a long journey or this, that, or the other. For the young people that are out there listening right now, you know, what would you tell them that they need to get through this journey? How should they be thinking right now? They're 10th, 11th grade. They're thinking about being youth. What do they need to do to get there?
Just stay dedicated and don't rush things. You know, a lot of people, you know, this day and age, you put things in the microwave and you know, you warm it up and it's done really quick. But that's not reality. You know, some people, it works out that way, but that's a very slim chance when it goes that way. And some people are just that talented where things just kind of move really fast. But for the most part, you got to be ready to run a marathon, basically. And so I would say, you know, put your jogging shoes on and get ready to do some miles, because a lot of times it's just constant hard work. And I know a lot of the hard work, you know, you're doing, it go unnoticed. And, you know, people thinking that a lot of times you give up on yourself and you're like, I'm doing this for nothing, especially, you know, in any sport, you know, you take a loss and you're not doing great at the time and you kind of doubt yourself. You see other people make it, and you probably started with that person, and you start, you know, it's just so many things that go through your mind, and you just have to be mentally tough to withstand all those things, and just have to believe in yourself, and no matter what, you just know you're going to make it.
Well, that's a good statement for them. Now, Lamont, I won't say that I am an expert in boxing, right? I'm a football coach. But I did go to school with Reggie Showtime Green. I don't know if you know Reggie, but, man, Reggie
yeah,
had a great, great career, and he's still in the area. I watched a fight last Saturday night, though. This was this Thurman and Garcia fight. And I sat and watched that whole thing and called myself scoring the fight. And I thought, and after watching it, and I saw the outcome and everything, I thought about you. And I said, you know what? I wonder what's next for Lamont Peters. Now, I'm not Don King, and I'm not trying to promote anything, but what is next for Lamont Peterson? Because you could be both of those guys if you ask Coach Howard, but what's next for you?
What's next for me is likely I'll fight the winner of that fight. Keith Thurman, the belt that I have makes me the mandatory challenger to him. And that's the fight that we'll work forward to. We'll probably know something in 3 or 4 weeks at this point. But right now, you know, I'm sure, you know, I just fought 2 weeks ago and he just fought last week. And we just mainly, you know, you take so much in the training camp, being away from your family and things like that. So, you know, you kind of want to go enjoy yourself a little bit, take a break, and get back to your loved ones. And then you start talking business in probably a month or so. So we got a few more weeks, and we'll sit down at the table. But that's the fight that's likely in my future.
You know, it's funny because most people, you know, I spent the first 20 minutes of this show talking about NFL free agency and this, that, and the other. But really, if there's ever a sport that is strictly business, it is boxing. I mean, when you said we're going to sit down at the table. I went to a fight where Reggie fought William Joppy, And I'm going to tell you right now, and I've been to some bouts over at Urban Boxing. You know Urban Boxing. Let me tell you something. This right here is the single most difficult sport I've seen. And every penny earned, it is earned. So now, what can you tell the listening audience about the toughness it takes to get in the ring and fight? I don't think people appreciate until you do it. I don't think people appreciate because you're going to get hit, right? But I mean, you're great. You're a champion, but you've been hit before, right? Somebody hit you.
Oh, yeah. Thousands of times.
Thousands of times, right. I can't imagine getting up and going to work and going, okay, I'm going to get hit today in the face. And this is how much I'm going to negotiate to get paid to hit someone else in the face. What can you tell that young person out there who's aspiring to be you that this is real, man? Y'all are gladiators in there. Tell me about what it's like being in there. Tell us about that.
If you I don't suggest anyone to box it that don't love it, because you have to love the sport because it's a rough sport. And at the end of the day, if you don't have the love for it, if you don't have the passion for it, then you eventually you'll quit. The getting hit in the face, and you get used to that part. It's the training.
Wait.
You get used to that part.
How do you get used to? Because I'm gonna tell you right now, I've watched you, and I'm going. First of all, this guy's hands are so fast. If you want to hit me, it's just gonna happen. But like your legs. I mean, you hit people, and their legs just go. I mean, that hurts.
Mainly because of the body shots. Them the ones that hurt. You hit the nose, it hurt. Body shots hurt. But just regular head shots, it makes you dizzy sometimes if you get hit good, but it's not actually pain, especially after, well, not until probably the next day or two. Then you're going to be really sore.
Right.
But in the ring, you don't really feel it. It, like I said, it's the training, the preparation to get to the point where, okay, I'm going to fight, and you get mentally, tell yourself that I'm coming in here, I'm going to get punched, I might get cut, I might get hit below the belt. Anything can happen. I can break my hand, things like that. And to know that you have to mentally, if you want to win the fight, sometimes you have to go through those things. Any injury, while you're in there, you don't use it as an excuse. You can't call timeout. You can't tag your teammate in. You have to deal with that. So you have to be mentally strong enough to try to bypass all of those things and continue to fight and still focus on winning the fight. So it's more mental than anything. You have to be mentally strong to box.
Well, let me be the first to say that, A, thank you for being on the Extra Points Radio show. Let me also be the first to say congratulations in winning your next fight. I'm going to be the first one to say that. And then finally, I love the fact that you talked about being a dad. I think that that's great that with all you got going on, you're still trying to figure out how to get back home and spend time with your kids. And that's off the charts. That says what type of guy you are. And that's why I can congratulate you on winning your next fight. That's why, because a character like that. So anytime you want on the show, man, you're in. We're going to call you a friend of the show, Lamont Peterson. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Have a great one.
Uh-huh.
Lamont Peterson, everyone. I'm telling you, this guy right here, if you don't know the name, you need to get to know the name. The guy's the first champion on the Extra Points Radio show. So kudos to him and kudos to our production staff for booking him. Great job. So we're going to shift gears here because the madness continues. We're rolling today. As I told you, we need to go to 2 hours from one champion to a guy we can boo. Super referee Craig Muckle. We need to get some background boo music for you, Craig. Craig, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
I'm on a roll, right?
Yeah, you are. That's pretty funny. Background boo music. That's good.
I'm going to find it. I had a production staff working on that this weekend. See, Muck,
okay,
man,
well,
it's weird because usually we do a top 10 recap sort of deal, but the polls are really over now. Now it's all about, the madness, the conference championships, this, that, and the other. I want you, though, I picked out four teams that I really want you to to dig in with me on. Kansas. What in the world happened the other night to them? In their, I think I know what you're going to say, but what happened?
Well, here's the first thing I'll say. It's hard to beat a team three times in the season. They beat TCU twice, and, you know, TCU had a little more to play for. And let's face facts. I mean, Josh Jackson was out as well. That had an impact. So, I mean, it was a combination of factors. When it's all said and done, Kansas didn't need the game nearly as much as TCU did. You know, if TCU is going to make the tournament, they need to certainly win the tournament, if not, you know, winning at least a couple games. So, Kansas will be just fine. I think if nothing else, when a team like that loses a game early, that just gives the coach something for his team to focus on and practice going into the tournament. Because, you know, every coach wants an edge. And, you know, sometimes when you've only lost two or three games, you're looking for that edge. So they'll be fine.
Nova. So I'm watching Jay Wright last night looking, you know, cool as I don't know what. And by the way, you said exactly what I thought you would on Kansas. I think they'll be fine. But Nova, I mean, they had a scare last night. So do they go ahead and blow out, Creighton today in the Big East final, and then get their number one seed and just keep rolling? Is that what happens with Nova?
You know, the Big East has been pretty tough now. You know, they've had some interesting games with Creighton this year. So it's really hard to tell. Again, you know, Creighton's a team that relies heavily on the three-pointer. And you never know. And I think over the course of 30-plus years of Big East tournament basketball, we have seen the unexpected occur. And I think that's what makes the Big East tournament one of the most fascinating tournaments every year to watch, because, you know, you think you're going to know what's going to happen, and then you get to the Garden, and then absolutely the opposite thing happens. So I would think realistically Villanova is going to win, but who's to say what? That's
right.
Going to be hard.
No, that's true.
I'm going to give it to Nova, but I'm not going to suggest it's a blowout.
Wow. Okay. And then you got UCLA and Gonzaga.
I knew we were going to get to them.
Yeah, I've not been a fan favorite of Gonzaga, so they should just blow right through their conference tourney with ease. But UCLA, do they just win the Pac-12 and then get their seed too? You see, that kind of reminds me of Villanova a little bit. Like, they're really good, but I don't trust them. And, of course, they'll be out by the second round.
Yeah, well, you know, Gonzaga already won their conference tournament, and they did, you know, they actually rolled through it pretty easily. You know, they beat a really good St. Mary's squad, you know, in the finals. So that's good for them. I think they'll be ready. As I said last week, I think it was, they'll get to at least the Elite Eight. I'm holding firm on that. As it relates to UCLA, you know, they're playing better defense this part of the season. And, you know, obviously Lonzo Ball and Bryce Alford are really leading the way for them. So, you know, if they can continue to roll offensively, that's going to be a big deal. And the thing about rolling offensively in the tournament, it's one thing to be rolling, scoring 80, 90 points in regular season. But when you have teams now able to, especially on that first week when, you know, the teams can focus on you going from Thursday into the Thursday or Friday games, when you haven't had a game for a few days, that's where it's going to be tough for you to maintain the offense, because, you know, the opponent's going to be able to focus in on what you do best and try to take that away. So it gets to be a matter of wills. And, you know, I suspect UCLA will get to the first couple rounds fairly easily. It does depend on the draw, because it is all about matchups. But when you start getting to the Sweet 16, you're definitely playing with a higher level competition. So if you're not prepared, you'll be watching the rest of it at home.
So it appears as though Kansas and either UCLA or Gonzaga will probably be locked for number one seed. UCLA or Gonzaga in the West, Kansas in the Midwest. But you know, back in the day, it was whoever won the ACC tournament kind of was the South, and whoever won the Big East was the East. But, you know, I mean, the ACC now has kind of changed, right? It's grown. First of all, who do you got winning the ACC tournament? And then what does that buy them? What do they get nationally for winning the ACC?
Well, I mean, if Carolina wins, and I have to admit, I was a little out of touch yesterday, so I know Carolina was playing
down.
Duke again.
They lost to Duke.
They did lose.
Breaking
so,
news.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I think, you know, for a team like Duke, now they're not going to get to the number one seed, I think, you know. But I think the Carolina loss definitely opens up for Villanova. I would suspect, unless Villanova looks incredibly bad against Creighton, they're going to get the number one seed in the East. And Carolina may have actually, you know, done enough to get one themselves. I mean, you know, they played a really good schedule. And, you know, they played really well. So, again, I think
Nobody in the South that can kind of own the South, Louisville, Kentucky, neither one of those teams could own. I mean, if Kentucky wins the SEC, do they get a number one seed, or there's nobody in the South? Someone will raid the South.
Well, I think what could happen here is this, this is really kind of off the chart, but if you were to see something wild happen out west, like, you know, obviously Oregon, UCLA, and Arizona are the class of the Pac-12. It's
sure.
conceivable that the committee can say, you know what, we have a lot of good teams in the West that need to be recognized. Who's to say that they won't decide we can put UCLA and Oregon in the number one seed and move one of those teams out to the South? You know, the Eastern teams have gone West before.
Are you alluding to that if Oregon wins the Pac-12 tournament, that they could get that fourth number one seed and go to the South?
Anything is possible, yes.
Wow.
Think about the fact Carolina lost. Now, again, losing to Duke, there's no shame. Losing in, you know, that's not a bad loss by any stretch. But, you know, committee.
Especially in the tournament.
The tournament committee just looks at the fact that, you know, these are about seasons. Sometimes, if Carolina was like the second best team in their mind, then they're still a number one seed. So it really depends on what the committee thinks of the team going into the conference tournament. Carolina was the number four, was the fourth best number one in their mind. Oh, then absolutely that loss would have hurt them and dropped them to a two line. I don't see it that way personally, but you never know what the committee thinks.
That's true.
And again, it also depends.
By the way, the committee's here in D.C. because they're traveling with the Big Ten, so a pretty cool deal there. Let me ask you about the locals here. So Maryland looked bad last night. That Mello Tremble, I just don't know about. I hope he stays in school, but they looked bad last night. I know Maryland's in, but they're gonna be a quick out.
If Mello's not on, they would be. Because Mello goes.
Well,
huh?
He doesn't shoot. Last night it was like he said, no, we have a no shoot Mello offense here. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, that's. I think he's gonna have to be more aggressive, and I'm sure Turgeon will remind him that in order for them to win, he needs to be aggressive. So I do think Maryland. Unless they get a really tough draw, they should get to the second weekend really, I don't want to say without a problem, but, you know, I would be disappointed, and they should be too, if they don't get to the second weekend. I mean, so let's say, I mean, they were in the top 25 most of the year, or certainly hovering right around it. So there's no reason why they shouldn't see themselves getting to the second weekend, you know, with some certainty. And again, it's all about the draw. I mean, you know, we've seen the far better team get a team that just doesn't match up well with them, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're out. So
no, I get it.
Nothing's a foregone conclusion.
Well, George Washington bowed out last night to Richmond. By the way, your Dayton Flyers out in the first round of their conference tournament. Just FYI.
Don't remind
also,
me. Don't remind me.
Yes. Also, Howard bowed out last night to MEAC. So, so long to them. But what about Georgetown? So, you know, I understand that they got beat by a freshman team in St. John's. Don't get that. But it was a bad, ugly loss. They had the little scrum where I thought Mullen kind of, you know, for lack of a better phrase, you know, really challenged the Georgetown squad. And only Ewing, little Ewing, had some fire. The rest of them were okay to just kind of cower and go the other way. When are we going to make this change?
Well, it's funny you bring that up because I actually saw, you know, some of that game. And you're right. Georgetown did not look good. And, you know, honestly, that was not the best game in the world overall. I mean, I thought the game, you know, here you have really, and, you know, St. John's have been down for a number of years. So we should keep that in mind. But these are Georgetown and St. John's are two of the teams that really made the Big East back in the day. And so to
mm-hmm.
see them in an 8-9, to see them in an 8-9 game really playing pretty much a meaningless game in a lot of respects, and then just to see it deteriorate to what it did is very disappointing. And I know I came on your show a week or two ago and was suggesting who is the solution if you're suggesting that JT3 needs to go. I don't know if I have a solution, but after that loss, I'm not sure he needs – I don't know if he is going to – he's necessarily going to get another shot at Georgetown because that was not a pretty performance in a lot of ways. And taking the extracurricular activities out of it, that just, you know, it wasn't good. And
it was really bad, but you know, well, you know, you mentioned that, hey, we gotta find out a replacement, but I mean, sometimes, you know, you just got to do, you know,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes
yeah.
I know the Washington football team, my beloved Redskins, sometimes they just cut the cord and had no plan.
Yeah.
And it worked out. Sometimes it did. Sometimes it didn't. This has become so bad. I think it's bleeding into recruiting and, you know, that's
yeah.
going to make it even more of a challenge. So, they got to do something, and you know, I just don't know what's going to happen. I'm not sure what we're waiting for. Do they make the NIT?
Oh, no, they're under 500. They're like 14 and 18. They're done.
Right.
And here's
there you go.
Let's think about this, though. Ohio State lost in, like, the first round of the Big Ten. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure Thad Mata's in trouble, but let's play this out. If Ohio State wanted to make a change and Georgetown wanted to make a change, I could see maybe Thad Mata coming here. I mean, Thad's got a little bit of a name. And I think, you know, if Georgetown's job opened up, there would be people interested. There's no question about it. And so I do think if that was available, a guy like Thad Mata, assuming Ohio State let him go, you know, he might be somebody to look at. And Georgetown would command a name coach, or maybe even an assistant whose time is whose time is coming. I don't know who that necessarily would be, but or someone from a major level. And no, Archie Miller is not going to go to Georgetown. Okay, we'll just knock that off right now.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Tell me about what are your thoughts on What are your thoughts on speaking of really good coaches? Scott Brooks is here with the Wizards. They're doing a good job. They won again last night. They've got more wins, 24-6, since the All-Star break. Since Christmas, than anyone else. They've got Beal, and Beal had, I think he's like fourth in scoring, 28 points a game since then. You've got Wall, who's leading in assists, I think like 12 or 13 a game. I mean, you know, they're creeping up on the Celtics now for that second seed. Man, getting that second seed is real big for them. Is this for real? Can I go out and get some gear now, or just wait another week?
Well, you know, there's still 20 some odd games or so left. I mean, I think you're right to feel good, but let's just give it a little more time because the Celtics are a good team. The Raptors are good, and I think you're going to see a highly competitive situation because obviously you want to be in that second position to ensure that you stay away from the Cavaliers until the conference final. You know, so right. I think you're going to see three teams trying to position themselves to be out of that number four spot and get into that, you know, the two positions so they can say, if we get to the conference final, we know we don't have to go through Cleveland to get there. You know, we can see them at the end of the road instead of in the middle of the road.
Right. No, I get it. And then I'll close you out with your Knickerbockers. Another somewhat woeful week here. Do you just play out? Are they trying to get lottery pick or what? You know, what do you do? What are they doing right now? You said there's 20 games left.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, I'd be lying if I said I knew what the Knicks were doing, because if I knew what the Knicks were doing, I would tell you. But let me just say, as a longtime Knickerbocker fan, going back to the Red Holtzman days, Phil Jackson needs to go. And I hate to say that because Phil was a valued member of that set 1971 championship team. But he's terrible as the president. He's terrible. I mean,
wow.
He got rid of Brandon Jennings. He doesn't know what to do with Carmelo. I mean, the only thing he's really done was draft Porzingis, who I do think, and lots of people think, has a long career in the NBA. I mean, it's frustrating. I mean, when you look at not only the Knicks, but let's go to the Lakers. I mean, and they had, you know, they brought in Magic Johnson. And, you know, look, I hope Magic does better than Phil Jackson.
But he will. He'll clean it up.
I agree. I do agree. I think that he will. But it's frustrating. So I think we just need to get rid of Phil, bring in a new face, and who's got a plan, and, you know, someone who doesn't rely on the triangle offense either. But I do think that's part of Phil's program. Let's get some players to play the triangle
right,
offense.
Those days are over.
Tell me about
your golf tournament. Hopefully it won't snow, but from the snow this week. But I know you got a golf tournament coming up, so tell our listening audience all about that.
Sure. May 17th, again, Oak Creek Country Club, the Prince George's Chamber of Commerce golf tournament. This will be our fifth year doing that. And, look, we're really expecting a nice event. We're lining up sponsors now. So now is the time to get on board. If you're a person that likes to, you know, participate in, also help our young people who may be desirous of a career in the sports, hospitality, or entertainment industries, then you should want to participate in that because some of the proceeds will go to students from Prince George's Community College who are studying in those fields. So we do we do want to help them out. We have sponsorship opportunities, and it's all about not only the sponsorship opportunities, but it's really about the ability to network with other members of our business community to get some business done in a, with a captive audience when you're on that golf course for 5 or 6 hours on a Chamber of Commerce day like today, although it is a little nippy. It's not a good day for golf, but, you know, sunshine's out. And I'm sure come May 17th, it'll be about 40 degrees warmer than it is today, and it'll be a great time. And if you've been before,
sounds like a good day.
You don't want to miss it. Absolutely.
Sounds like a good day. Super referee Craig Muckle, hey, sorry your Dayton Flyers lost. Mason lost as well, so all the local teams are out. Appreciate your update for the week. We'll see you down the road.
No problem. All right, thanks, Lynn. Thanks again.
Super referee Craig Muckle, man, that guy knows his basketball stuff. Good stuff. So, hey, our two-minute warning's pretty simple right now. And I want to go back to our guest, WBA welterweight champion Lamont Peterson, talking about running the marathon. It is not a sprint. So for all of you listening and you got dreams, goals, and aspirations, just make sure you realize you got to put in the time and the preparation to do that. He's doing just that right now. And sometimes that time is just resting. Resting is part of preparation, and that's exactly what he's doing to prepare for bigger and brighter things. So we thank him for being a guest on our show, and he's right. It's not a sprint. It is a journey. Prediction. Not a good week last week, so we're at 16-16. We're going to go out on a limb here and take our Wiz kids over the Trailblazers tonight out in Portland. Wiz has been doing really well on this West Coast swing. They'll wrap up the West and then come back through Texas and make their way back home while the Big Ten tournament's going on at Verizon. So I'm going to get the Wiz kids over the Trailblazers. I'm also going to go with Michigan over Minnesota in the Big Ten tournament. I think there's something special about Michigan and what happened to them this week. For those of you that don't know, their plane struggled down at Reagan National and really had a tough little accident, tough bump for those kids. They got back on the plane and they got here safely. They played in their practice uni. The band borrowed instruments. And I think a little adversity goes a long way. I think you watch out for this Michigan team. Now, Minnesota's a good team, and I think Minnesota's not going to feel sorry for them. It's going to be a good game today, but I got Michigan. And then I got to give the MEAC a shout-out. You know, I haven't seen one MEAC game on television yet. Not sure why that is. But I do know that I'm going to go with North Carolina Central over Norfolk State, and here's why. Because North Carolina Central's football team is really good, and Norfolk State's is really bad. So I don't know anything about either team, but I know their football is good. So I'm going to go with NC Central in a win, and a win the MEAC over Norfolk State. Just a couple other announcements. Hey, reach us on Twitter, at Extra Point LLC. That's at Extra Point LLC. Please visit our website, www.extrapointsllc.com, and you'll see all the wonderful things that Extra Points is doing, including me speaking. I'm out tomorrow out in Prince George's County, gorgeous Prince George's County, speaking to the Alpha Phi Alpha Leadership Institute. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a great, great day. And, of course, if you are looking for a speaker to motivate, engage, and inspire your team or organization, book me. Yes, book me. And speaking of book, it's still there. It's still there. Extra Points, The Life of My Story. The book's still doing really well. $19.99. That includes shipping. Please go to the website and order your copy today. We're also looking for show ideas. We love our segments, but we want to make sure we keep a fresh show for you. We're looking forward to maybe stretching out to 2 hours. And so for that, we're going to need more segments. And of course, we're always looking for sponsors. So, hey, if you got a show idea, you can email me at coach@extrapointsllc.com. Hey, that's another knockout edition of the Extra Points Radio Show. And as always, you know what it is. The Extra Point is up, and it is good.
Has the extra point.